everyone, to another episode of Ed Talk. I'm your host, Tamara, and today we're diving into an exciting development in education across the nation. 13 states have taken a bold step forward by implementing educational spending or educational saving accounts for families. But what does this mean for education, and how might it impact students and communities? Let's dive in talking about educational spending accounts, often referred to as ESAs. There are initiatives aimed at providing families with financial assistance to access alternative educational options beyond traditional public schools. You might remember the original ones way back when being vouchers. So this is the evolution of that. So these options for the ESAs may include private schools, charter schools, online learning programs, or homeschooling. Proponents argue that ESAs offer parents greater choice and control over their children's education. They promote competition and innovation in the education sector, and they address the diverse needs of students who may not thrive in traditional school settings. The adoption of ESAs is often driven by a combination of political, ideological, and practical considerations. Supporters champion the principles of school choice, parental empowerment, and educational equity. However, the implementation of ESAs is not without its challenges. Critics raise concerns about the potential diversion of public school funds away from traditional public schools and the lack of accountability and oversight in some of the ESA programs, and the exacerbation of inequities in education. As a former principal, I can attest that these funds are not being taken away from the public schools. ESAs stand on their own in a separate budget. Schools receive their budgets based upon student enrollment. If a child is being homeschooled, then the funds stay within the government. Schools don't get extra money for the kids that might be enrolled in the school or live just near the school. The only thing they receive funding for is based upon a student that meets the FTE requirements. Now, FTE stands for the full-time equivalent, and that means a student has to be enrolled in the school in the fall and in the spring to meet those requirements. Schools only receive funding for those students that are at the school for that entire time. Now, some might enroll a little bit late, so they give a date such as like October and March are usually around the times, depending on your district, depending on your school, that they check to see if the students are enrolled full time. The school's budget is then determined by how many students meet that FTE requirement. So you can see that is a different budget, because if you have a homeschooling student, they're not attending any school. So therefore, there are no funds allocated for that child because they're not in a school. So ESC funds and school funds are indeed different. So let's talk about how ESA funds might look depending on where you live and their implementation. Here are some examples of what educational spending accounts or educational savings accounts might look like in some of the participating states that we have about 13 different states right now. And then, of course, check your Senate and House bills, because they're right now, several of them are in session. Okay, so let's just say State A, for example. This might happen in State A. We have eligible families receiving funds deposited into an ESSA account, which they can use the funds within this account to cover various educational-related expenses, such as tuition and fees at private schools, textbooks, tutoring services, online courses, and other educational materials. Families will have the flexibility to tailor their children's education to their individual needs and preferences. So what does this look like? Well, either you can choose to put the funds into a private school, or you can take online courses, or you can even have tutoring services. A lot of homeschoolers choose, educators to help them with maybe subjects they're not comfortable with. So they hire a tutor to like maybe teach their child math. That's just one example. Textbooks, they can purchase that. But what it allows them to do is choose which type of educational path they want to follow as a family. It's a really beautiful freedom. So that is what maybe state A looks like. Now we're going to go to state B. And in this scenario, ESSAs function as a form of educational savings account. Similar to your health savings account, you know how you get those little cards that you can spend on anything health related? Well, this is the same type of concept, but for education. So each year, eligible families receive a designated amount of money deposited into their ESSA. And this can accumulate even over time. Families can use these funds to pay for a wide range of educational expenses, including tuition, fees, and approved educational services. Okay, so that it's a little bit different type of spending account, but still families get the choice on how to spend. Each state is going to give you different rules and regulations. Now, state C, they offer ESSAs specifically students for special needs or disabilities. And we do have a couple of states out there that that's the only type of ESSAs they have. But that is also changing. Again, look at your state and Senate. Your Senate and House bills, because a lot of them start with the ESSAs in regards to special needs, tuition, or fees, or educational services. And then throughout the years, they have added on. Florida is an example of that. North Carolina is an example of that. And even Arizona is an example that they have tweaked and added on for the general population to be able to receive the educational spending accounts. So families of eligible students in this scenario, they receive the funds to cover expenses related to specialized educational services, therapies, assistive technology, and other supports that are not fully provided by the public school system. So these families can actually be in the school system, the public school system, and also receive funds to help with educational services. ESSAs also empower the families to access the resources and services necessary to meet their child's unique learning needs. And that is the key right there. It's those unique learning needs. That is what that in this scenario, the state's ESSA funding accounts are for. So servicing students with special needs and meeting their unique learning needs. Now we have another scenario, state D. In this state, ESSAs are available for families who choose to homeschool their children. Participating families receive funds to purchase curriculum materials, and curriculum materials can be anything from some of the educational books you find at Barnes & Noble's to online materials to teacher pay teachers to some of the other bigger names and even textbooks through some of the textbooks we use in schools. So they can purchase curriculum materials, they can purchase educational resources, enrichment activities. We're talking music lessons, we're talking maybe yoga for kids and things like that. But whatever supports their homeschooling endeavors, that is what these funds can be spent on. ESSAs provide homeschooling families with financial assistance and flexibility to create personalized learning experiences for their children. So if a child is really passionate about horse riding, for example, then that could be something that they take horse riding lessons. And yes, the ESSA funds can assist with that if it falls under the regulations. And of course, you do have to justify as a parent You will have to justify why this is helping with your child's educational plan. A lot of states have that terminology, an educational plan, and you need to submit that in advance. What is the educational plan? Why are you doing this? How is it helping your student? Why or your child? What is the benefit to your child? Then we have another scenario like state E. They might offer ESSAs as a means of expanding access to early childhood education. Eligible families receive funds to enroll their children in accredited preschool programs or daycare facilities or early learning centers. ESSAs help alleviate the financial burden of childcare expenses and ensure that all children have access to high quality early educational opportunities. And there's several states that are doing that, which I am very grateful for, because we know that, man, birth to five, that's been proven time and time again scientifically. That is an age in which our brains are growing and making some really important neurological links. Okay, so those are just a few examples of the states that the way that they can implement the ESSA spending accounts in the various states. As I said earlier, there are currently ESSA programs in 13 states, and this is as of January 2024. And the participating states are South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, New Hampshire. Now, I will also say that different states are implementing their ESSAs at different times. Arizona is already in process, Florida is already in process, West Virginia is already in process, but states like Utah and South Carolina, they're just getting started in August of 2024. They're accepting applications now. I know Utah is just started their application process for families to go ahead and apply. They did have some of the special need funds for kids. Now they have opened up the ESSA funds to all families and children. And so now Utah has opened up their application system, and they have had an enormous turnout for parents requesting the funds. Some of the states do have a limit, right? They have a limit of a limited budget of they have a limited budget in regards to how many families can apply and receive the funds. So you definitely want to be one of the earlier families. And you definitely want, because once the money runs out, you know, you go on a waiting list and such as that. But the other thing too is some states do have a threshold in regards to family income. So that can also affect whether or not you will receive the funds. So what you need to do, if you're interested in these educational spending accounts or educational savings accounts, check your Senate and House bills to see what is happening in your state. So let's look ahead. Let's look ahead at the impact of ESSAs. The impact is going to vary depending on how they're designed, how they're implemented, and how they're regulated. For example, in Florida, they have these, they have a position called like a navigator, and there's someone who comes to your house, meets with you, and looks over your child's portfolio to make sure that you are actually participating in the homeschool process and to see what type of growth your child or progress your child is making. So while these programs, these ESSA programs, have the potential to expand educational opportunities for students and empower families, it is crucial to address concerns about equity, accountability, transparency, and to ensure the ESSAs serve all students, especially from those marginalized communities. ESSAs can really lead the way in changing education as we know it. They can help us to shape the future into a better, more accessible tailored education for our children, but we do need to make sure that it is equitable. I hope you have enjoyed this informative Ed Talk today. Thank you for tuning in. We'll continue to monitor the developments surrounding educational spending accounts and their impact on education nationwide. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep advocating for a brighter future in education. Thank you for listening to Ed Talk with Tamara. We want to thank our sponsor, Infinite Learning Academy. You can find resources of all types for education through Infinite Learning Academy at ilafamily.com. Reach out to them for free consultations at ilafamily.com.